hope you all had a good week. Now, I know you're going to look in your bulletin and you're going to say, hey, wait a second, Pastor, you forgot something else. Which is not unusual for me. But, yes, we were planning on having a child dedication. Excuse me, that's a big thing. Today, but one of the families has the flu and the other family kind of forgot. And I won't tell you which one it's which. But anyway, but this actually gives us an opportunity again to open it up. We are going to move it back to next week because child dedication is just an excellent thing to have during the month of November, because part of child dedication is giving thanks to God for these children who are born. So if you're out there and you have a child that you would like to dedicate to the Lord, you'd like to know more of what that means to do that, please talk to me this week and we'll get you on the schedule for next week. And if you can't do it next week, we'll do it some other time. But we would like to offer that to you and say we will be doing that next week. Hopefully everyone will be well and be able to remember. So, anyway, one of the things, now I have to go back because I missed something when I said that the play, Annie's going to be it, and yes, that, and Annie is from Onipo. But we do have young people from our church in the play. Jacob Brown is in the play, and if you come, you'll get to hear him sing. Because he is in the cabinet scene, and Roosevelt says, sing! And he's got to sing. And so he does. He does such a great job. So anyway, Jake Brandon, Jan Ng is in it, and a whole bunch of our Awana kids are in it. I mean, a whole bunch of Awana kids are in it. So anyway, because you know, there's all these little orphan things, kids, and they're all girls, and orphans should be guys. But anyway, but it's fun. It's a great play. But I didn't want to spike to Jacob because I know you're in it. And oh, he looks sharp. He's got a suit and tie on. I mean, the guy's handsome. Really is. So anyway, you gotta come. Anyway, you know, this is Thanksgiving and we're giving thanks to the Lord this whole month. And I'm not just doing it from the pulpit. You're doing it from the floor. And so I'm going to just give you that opportunity to think about what you might would like to say. Again, it does not have to be long. I don't want it to be long, actually. I'm not going to stick a microphone in your face so that you know, I just would like you to stand up and clearly say what it is that you are thankful for. And so while maybe you're thinking, I just want to get you started by saying something that I'm very thankful for. I just think, you know, I don't know why I'm so surprised or amazed at the way that the Lord has worked in my son Ben's life. It's just, I'm not saying he's arrived. He is not arrived. Anyway, but this idea, I mean, this thing that, you know, he was moving to Seattle. And I know that's not the greatest place in the world to move, but it beats L.A. And, you know, he didn't have housing. You know, and he couldn't afford to live where Costco Corporate is. And so he answers an ad on Craigslist. You know, the highly respected Craigslist. And he doesn't even talk to the lady on the phone. He texts her. And they text back and forth, and they set this all up, and she wanted a deposit, and he didn't want to give her a deposit. She said, okay. You know, I mean, Melissa and I are really thinking, there's no house here. There's really no one there. And, but he goes, and the house is there, and the people truly do exist. And he has a room. It's pink, but it is a room. And, you know, fortunately, Ben doesn't care much about that kind of stuff. But the cool thing is, this, through Craigslist, not through Christians International or findachristianhome.com or anything like this. These folks are believers. They're Asian believers. They don't speak great English, but they've been here quite a while, so it's better. And this is the kicker. They're doing Awana versus the two little girls who live in this home. And for some odd reason, they kind of attach themselves to Ben. Go figure. You know, he helps them to learn their Awana verses. I mean, what? I mean, my son is helping two little Asian girls, what, 8 and 6? Something like that. Learn their Awana verses. And the family invited him to church. And this is the part that some of you don't know. And Ben went to church, and he loved it. And they connected him, and after church, he went to dinner with 10 other guys. And just so he could get to know, you know, and I'm just thinking, wow, isn't this amazing? You know, it's like, no, this is God. This is how God works. Why am I so surprised at how God works? And maybe it's because I don't open my eyes to see what God is already doing. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity just to say, what are you thankful for today? Again, you don't have to say more than 4 or 5 words. But what are you thankful for today? You know, it's not just me telling you to be thankful. It's you being thankful. So here's your opportunity. Don't make my wife stand up again. She will. She's smiling like she's got something else to say. But Hannah's trying to keep her down. The first one's the hardest. So who will be brave? And balcony included. I know I will, sooner or later. And I'll really be thankful for it when it happens. So, Hannah, that was really unintentional.
Yeah.
I'm not going to regret late healing up so I can get off the road again.
And Greg is doing well.
Give you a report next week. I go see Dr. Kingstead on Thursday, so okay. We'll find out a whole lot more structure. I thank everybody for the cards and gifts they've already sent out. We've had some visitors, which I appreciate that too. And like I said, we'll find a lot more out on Thursday, so we'll give you a heads up on Thursday. Last week is Sunday.
Like Sunday, yeah, because Thursday,
not
going to be here. So, others, God's doing something, I know he is.
I'm grateful that our grandson, Brandon's son, Charlie, got through with 4 years in the Marines, and he's came home safe and Marine service, and for all he is.
Yeah. Praise God. He's home. I guess it's safer in the United States, but, you know, anyway, it's great to have him home. And I think Sally said that last week about Jordan, so it's cool. Others?
I've been thinking a lot this week how I'm very thankful for hope that, you know, I've been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, but he gives me hope for tomorrow. And even when things are tough or there's tough things happening with families and around us, that God has a plan and purpose for each one of us, and that is our hope. And so I'm so blessed that.
Yeah, even when things aren't going very well, we still have hope. And we know God's there. Others?
I'm thankful that I can still live on my own.
Okay, Esther, thankful that she can still live on her own.
And I can still walk up and downtown.
She does. I think I see her every day walking up and down town. Don't wave to her, though. But, Esther, we're happy for you, too.
I couldn't see you if you did.
I know. And don't honk. That just scares people. Others? Thankful for your family.
Our veterans.
Our veterans. Very, very timely. Yesterday being Veterans Day. For all of you who did, who have served in the military, thank you. You gave of your, you sacrificed for us. And, you know, and we are grateful for the work that you have done. Thank you.
Pastor, I just want to say one more thing. We check in the bulletin every Sunday about the prayer concerns, but I think the biggest prayer concern, the very thankful thing, is that the caretakers. I think a lot of people within the church, you know, relate to this. They've not been doing so well, sickness, injuries, and I think the biggest thank you needs to go out to the caregivers,
yeah,
for those people, and that includes myself.
Yeah. Yeah, the wives and husbands and friends and family that step up when things go bad. It's wonderful what happened. You bet. You bet.
Pastor, I'm so thankful for to be a part of a church that is so alive with opportunities to serve and to invest and to be helped and to be loved on and loved by other people. And there are lists and lists. You've mentioned so many this morning. And there just is not an opportunity for isolation in this church unless we choose it. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have open doors to our community around us. Wonderful.
That's a neat thought. I hadn't thought that, but it is great that God gives us opportunities. Anything else? I still have a 40-minute sermon.
I'm thankful for the church family and everything that's been to me for the right time. And especially my wife.
I'm thankful for the opportunity teach the high school Sunday school class, even if I just found out yesterday that I was doing that. That's the same room I used to meet in when Dean was up front teaching. Now I've come full circle. I'm like complete. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to teach at a church that's committed to gospel focus among young people.
Now you know why our missionaries don't let us know in advance when they're coming. I got the text. Hi, I'm in town. Good. Can you send to school? Yeah. Thank you, Kevin, for being willing to do that and for the work that you're doing. I mean, I think one of the greatest mission fields are our college campuses. I really do. There is definitely a forced teaching opposite of what God is all about on our campuses. Thank you for training those people to go out and do that. I'm not that brave. I'd rather go to Africa. Anything else? I don't want to keep you long. You're going to have another opportunity next week, so you better be thinking of something. And I was going to say, you know, if you guys can think of enough things to be thankful for, you won't get a sermon this morning. You would just get go until the rating comes up. Yes. Okay. So you want to hear me preach. That's good. I don't mind that. I'll give you something you can be thankful for. This is the last Sunday this year that you will see my shirt. I only wear it in October and November, and I don't plan on wearing it the next 2 weeks. So, anyway, no more great pumpkin, no more pumpkin chowder. I love the tactful way you folks tell me, that's a bright shirt. It's kind of like, yeah, it the pumpkin patch, huh? Anyway, it's festive, you know. I only wish that I had my black pants on and then I could be black orange. So, anyway, but thank you for sharing. And I know it's hard to stand up and share, because I really want to be up front. I don't like to talk. So, and even when I'm up front, I'm not real thrilled about it. So, anyway, we're going to look at this morning, just quickly look at a story that's in the Bible. It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. This story is about 10 men who had a very serious problem in that day. And actually, I think probably what I'm going to do, rather than read it, is just recap it for you. These men were lepers. And we don't truly understand what it is like to be a leper in those days. Because when you had leprosy, there was no cure for you. We've now conquered that disease, which is really cool that we can do that. But in those days, there was no cure. It's a highly infectious disease, and so the people who had leprosy were not allowed to live in the city. They had to live outside of the city gates, or the city walls. And if they did happen to come into the city, they needed to cover their face, and they needed to say, "Leper! Leper! Leper!" Now, how would you like to walk up and down the streets of Colfax saying, "Leper! That would be so humiliating to do that." Well, these men were living out, and Jesus was going into a city, and they saw the commotion, they heard the commotion, and evidently they had heard about Jesus, because they called out to Jesus, "Jesus, heal us!" And Jesus stopped, looked at them, didn't go over to them. They didn't come up to him because they couldn't come up to a crowd of people. Didn't go over, they just looked over to them. And he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now, you say, "Well, that's kind of an odd thing to do, isn't it?" Well, no, it's not, because only the priests could declare someone clean from leprosy. And so what Jesus was telling them is go show, he didn't say, "You're healed." He says, "Go show yourself to the priests, and they will declare you clean." Now, I don't know when their healing took place. I have no idea. I kind of think that when they started to go to see the priest, that they still had leprosy. Now, some would say, "Well, no, they realized they were clean, and so they're going to go see the priest." But I think they just were obeying Jesus and took off, and they had faith in him, and they were going to the priest. But it says here that one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, when he saw that he had been cleansed, one of them stopped and came back to thank Jesus and to give glory to God. And we think, well, that's really neat of this one person. But, boy, it's too bad the others didn't think of doing that or whatever. And it's kind of brought into my mind. And it's like, well, did this really bother Jesus that they didn't come? Well, you know, it doesn't really say that Jesus was grieved and that Jesus was hurting because, but look at what Jesus said, verse 15, I'm going to read this. It's, "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face, at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan." Okay, now that's one thing that tells you how serious the disease of leprosy is. Samaritans and Jews would never hang out together. Only because of this disease would this Samaritan have been with a group of Jews. But the implication is here, the rest of them were Hebrews. They were Jews. And this one was a Samaritan. And he came back to give thanks. Did Jesus notice? Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, were not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? You answer the question. The Jesus noticed that they didn't come back. The Jesus noticed. No, he didn't just say, oh, well, you're welcome. I'm glad I could do it. I'm glad you made mention of it to me. He said, no, weren't there 10 that were cleansed? How come there's only one who came back? And then it says, and he, a foreigner. He wasn't, so the implication here is that the 9 were Jews, and this was a Samaritan. And he came back, but the Jews didn't. And he came back, and so he praised God. And he says to him, verse 19, and he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, it's interesting. I thought about that statement a little bit. He had already been healed. But it says, your faith has made you well. You know, I'm thinking there's something more there than the physical healing that transpired. I think there was a spiritual healing in this man. He realized who Jesus was. And he came back to praise him. But you know, I just kind of want to briefly, and I just have a minute or two, to look at the question. Is it such a big deal that they forgot to come back and give praise to God? Is it a big deal that we forget to praise God? I mean, is it really a bad thing? I mean, we have a gracious God, and he forgives us for so much. And that's true, he does. So is it really that big of a deal that we focus on Thanksgiving? And there's just two things I want to say about that. Well, for one thing, yes, it is a big deal. Because first of all, it's being disobedient to God's word if we neglect being thankful. It's being disobedient to God's word. Now, there's a whole bunch of verses underneath that in your sermon notes, and those all deal with Thanksgiving. 1 Chronicles 16:8, I'll look at that one. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 106:1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And we could spend another half hour or more just going through the book of Psalms where it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. But for those of you who think the Old Testament isn't as important as the New Testament, then I got you too. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. That's even a little bit more powerful than what the book of Psalms said. Oh, give in everything give thanks, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will is that you give thanks. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And one verse that I want you to ponder doesn't say anything about Thanksgiving. It's in the book of James. James, a very practical book. In James chapter 4, verse 17, James writes this down. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. To him it is sin. If you've been in church very long, if you've been in Sunday school or Awana or whatever, you have heard this theme of giving thanks to God. It has been proclaimed to you. I know it's been proclaimed to you from the pulpit since I've been here many times. So we know that God wants us to give him thanks. And if we don't, it is a sin. It is a sin. So first of all, being forgetful about giving praise to God or thanking God for what he's doing, it is a sin that we are committing. Secondly, forgetting to give thanks to God will hinder our walk with the Lord. Now, I can go over on this one. I mean, this is if we look at Romans 1:21, and this is where Paul is describing the fall of man. And he's doing it in a little, he doesn't mention Adam and Eve, he just talks about mankind, and he talks about the direction that mankind is going. And this is what he says: "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So here Paul talks about two things that are detrimental to our spiritual walk. If we don't give thanks to God, if we don't stop to acknowledge Him, to honor Him, and to give Him thanks, then we become futile in our speculations. That basically means our thinking becomes flawed. Our thinking becomes flawed. Why? Because we have removed God from the equation. Now, I'm not saying we're saying it's not that we don't believe in God. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we've removed Him, that, oh no, there's no God, that we become atheists or agnostics. No, I'm saying that God stops being the center focus of our life, and all of a sudden He comes down here. And so without God up there being kind of the guiding light in our life, our thinking becomes questionable because we are not recognizing who is in charge. And we start thinking higher of ourselves than we should. And we start thinking that we are capable of taking care of ourselves. And we start to think that there really isn't anything that I need, that I'm okay totally within myself. Because we're not acknowledging that God has done something for us. And so our thinking can become futile. And really quite foolish. And then the other thing that Paul mentions, and he says, and our foolish hearts will be darkened. And our foolish hearts will be darkened. Now, this is talking, really, when the Bible's talking about the heart, it's talking about the center of our soul. It's talking about our inner being. That really is who we are, is not physically. It's what is in here. That's who we are. And when we don't stop to give thanks to God, we kind of lose sight of who we are. Our hearts become darkened. All of a sudden, God isn't so important. All of a sudden, we don't see the good that God is doing. All of a sudden, we lose the hope that we talked about giving thanks for, because our heart is darkened. We don't see it anymore. We become blind to what God is doing in our lives and in the world. And as we cease to serve God, then we move farther away from Him, and He is doing less and less in our life. To the place to where we talk about, why do Christians commit suicide? Why is it that someone who is a Christian commits suicide? And I think this is part of it, is their heart has become darkened, and they don't see what they're doing. They don't see any hope. They don't see any joy in life. Because their heart is darkened. And when our heart is darkened, our life is miserable. I don't care what kind of shape you're in. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what position you have in life. If your heart is darkened, you are going to be a miserable individual. And when we forget to honor God and give Him thanks, our heart becomes dark. And we become miserable people. Now, can this happen to a Christian? Because here he's talking about the unregenerate world. He's talking about the fall of mankind. But, you know, you may say, well, Pastor, this can't happen to a Christian. Oh, yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. Not, I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. Don't get me wrong here. I don't believe that. You believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. According to the Scriptures, you are saved. But even if you have that belief, you can become so dark and so confused in your thinking that you lose all your joy. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose all your joy. But when we acknowledge God for what He has done for us, when we acknowledge God that He is the one who has made us, we are His. We are the sheep of His pasture. That's next week's sermon, so I shouldn't go there. But when we realize that, then all of a sudden God is in the right place and we are in the right place. And we start seeing what God is doing in our life and what He has done in our life. And we give thanks to God and we honor Him. And our thinking is clear and our hearts are light. Is it important that we give thanks to God? Absolutely, it's important that we give thanks to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warning that we have in your word that if we forget to honor you and forget to praise you and forget to give you thanks, Lord, it's going to hurt us. Spiritually, it's going to hurt our walk. It's going to hurt our ministry. It's going to hurt us. Lord, help us to keep you in the right spot. Help us to always honor you and give thanks to you that we might not sin against you, that our minds may be clear and our hearts pure. Father, help each and every one of us to ponder, to think on these words, but not just think, to act on them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.